Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I remember coming home from spring break my junior year of high school. My family, we had vacationed in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and we lived in northern Indiana. And we were driving back home, and I took the midnight shift of driving. I took over somewhere outside of Memphis, Tennessee, and I made it to the south side of Indianapolis just as the sun was rising. We were about an hour from home. And I really, you know, I felt like the man, right? Like I was the guy bringing the family home from vacation. Felt like I was maybe kind of finally exiting puberty, like all that scratchy voice and acne was going to be worth it because I was going to bring the family home. And about a mile from our exit, I fell asleep. And I drove the van off the road. Well, luckily, no one was hurt. Nobody was injured except my pride. And we ended up in the bottom of a ditch. Now, I had every intention of driving home, but I ended up in the bottom of a ditch. A couple weeks ago, there was a news story. We actually have the clipping of it about some vacationers in Australia, some people going through Australia's Murray Sunset National Park, and they were looking for this town called Mildura. And the problem was is that Apple Maps says that Mildura is about 45 miles away from the actual location of Mildura. If you look on there, that bottom red pin, that's where Apple Maps says that it exists. But the problem is it's actually up there by that purple pin. And so one motorist, thinking that he was only, you know, a couple miles from salvation, drove around, got low on gas, went to what was supposed to be a town of about 30,000 that didn't exist where they said it was. He ended up being stranded in like 115 degree heat for over 24 hours. You see, he had every intention on going to Mildura. That was his intended destination. But he ended up in the middle of nowhere. See, that's the thing about driving and maps and geography. Intention doesn't determine our destination. Our direction does. And really, that's true in life as well. We're going to talk about that today. There's a principle at play in your life. And whether you believe it or not, it has the power to change your life. It's the principle of the path. Well, let me explain. Anybody ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Three people. We've all seen The Wizard of Oz, right? You know, Dorothy, Yellow Brick Road, Scarecrow, ringing a bell. So the whole goal that Dorothy had was to get to the Emerald City. And so at the end of the movie, Dorothy found the Emerald City. Now, was she smart? Was she smarter than anybody else? Did she have some kind of, you know, special talent? No, not really. She simply followed the yellow brick road. And so during her adventure, yeah, she might have, you know, had a couple of hiccups along the way, but the truth is she was never really lost because all she had to do was follow the yellow brick road, and at the end of the yellow brick road was her destination, the Emerald City. It was the destination at the end of that path. And wouldn't it be great if in life we had a yellow brick road? If there was a yellow brick road that we could follow that would lead to a marriage that made you want to come home early from work, or a yellow brick road that led to better health, or maybe imagine a yellow brick road that could lead you back into a relationship that is now kind of dissolved, maybe a relationship with a mom or a dad or a son or daughter, or maybe even a best friend. What if there was a road that could lead you out of the valley of guilt and shame? And if that were the case, maybe we would stop looking for solutions. Instead, start looking for a path. See, that's the first key in understanding this principle of the path, is recognizing the difference between a solution and a path. Here's what I mean. Imagine I drop you in the middle of nowhere. Let's say that you are completely lost, and you don't know if you're a mile or 1,000 miles away from where you need to be. Well, it'd be kind of foolish in that moment to say, I need a solution. You know the solution. When you're lost, the solution is don't be lost, right? What you need in that moment is a direction. You need to know which way to head. There is no fix for being lost. To get from where you don't want to be to where you do want to be requires two things. It requires time and the right direction. You see, you get to where you want to be the exact same way that you got to where you don't want to be, by putting one foot in front of the other and heading in a specific direction. Computers have problems. Cars have problems. Lawnmowers, those things have problems. But typically speaking, people don't have problems. People need new directions. I've sat down and talked with a lot of individuals that want to tell me their problems. But the truth is, they've just chosen to live their life in a specific direction that has led them to a destination that they don't want to be. They don't need a solution. They need a new direction. Think about it. Think of an area in your life right now, relationally, spiritually, financially. Think of somewhere in your life that you're kind of unsatisfied with. And then think about the steps that you have taken along the way, the path that has led you. And I think it's true. If you look at that area, you would agree that there has been specific acts in your behavior that has led you to exactly where you are in that area. Think about it this way, financially speaking. Financially speaking, isn't it true that there's a specific fiscal path that has led to your current financial reality? What you studied in school, the amount of time you spent studying in school, the amount of schooling you decided to get, the profession that you undertook, the work ethic that you put into your job, the house that you bought, the things that you choose to finance versus the things you choose to pay cash for. And that may be a good or a bad thing, whatever those steps were. But all of those decisions were steps down a path that has led you to a current financial destination. And many individuals who are unhappy with an area of their life, they want a solution. I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. They want a fix. But the truth is, when you're lost and you don't know where you are, there's no quick fix. It takes time. It takes the right direction. And the same is true relationally, physically, financially, professionally, spiritually. What we experience as unrelated, isolated events are actually steps in a specific direction. And maybe you're going, I'm not so sure about this, Jake. And so maybe you can't see it in your own life. I bet that you can see it in others. I mean, isn't it true when you talk to people who are at an enviable place financially or spiritually, isn't it true that they have stories to tell? Isn't it true that as you listen to them talk, you realize they are where they are because of specific decisions that they made along the path? And the opposite is true, right? I bet we all have friends that have gone through tough times that go, I have no idea how I ended up here. And you're going, really? You have no idea how you ended up here? You didn't see this coming from a mile away? Because I did. So if it's true that we can look at our own lives or we can look into the lives of others and see a path behind us, wouldn't it also be true that in every arena of our lives we have a path that is in front of us, a path that is predictable and a destination that is evident? We're often deceived into thinking that our life is a series of unrelated decisions and somehow we're going to end up at the destination we want to be at simply by luck or sheer will. I'm going to will myself there, or I'm going to figure out a solution. But if we can see a path behind us that explains where we are right now, well, then there's probably a path ahead of us, a path that has a very specific destination. And that brings us to the principle of the path. Here's what it is. Check it out. It says, direction, not intention, determines our destination. You remember my story earlier about falling asleep at the wheel? I had every intention of driving my family home. But the moment that van changed directions, our destination changed. Or think of it this way. Say I want to take a road trip, and I want to go to California. So I get in my car, I hop on the 15, and I head north. Now, instead of hitting California, I'm going to get really cold really quick. Because you know what? That path doesn't change. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're black or white, if you're white collar or blue collar, if you're a hipster or a yuppie or a combination of both, which is a hippie. Think about it. It doesn't matter. If you get on the 15 and head north, you're not going to go to California. There's only one way to get to California from here, and that's to head towards California, right? If your direction doesn't point that way, you're never going to end up in that destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. And most people, they don't connect the dots between the outcomes they experience with the decisions that they make. We come to believe that as long as our intentions are good, as long as our heart is in the right place, as long as we work hard and we try our best, that we're going to end up in the destination we want to be. But life doesn't really work that way. It's like the pilot that gets on the intercom. He says, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is we're lost. But the good news is we're getting there really fast." Right? Our direction. The direction will trump intention every time. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs chapter 7. If you have a Bible, I encourage you get it out. We're going to sit in this chapter for the rest of our time together today. Proverbs chapter 7. If you didn't bring a Bible, don't worry about it. We'll throw the verses up on screen and you can follow along. And listen, if you don't own a Bible, we want to change that. We think that you should have one. So back at the back of the Velcro bar, we have them. Feel free on your way out, just grab one. They're completely free. You don't have to sign anything. You can literally walk up, grab it, and walk away. We want that to be your gift today. So here we go, Proverbs chapter 7. The writer here is describing a scene that he is witnessing from the vantage point of an upstairs window. So he's upstairs and he's looking out into a scene happening on a street. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And here's what it says. "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner." So right away, we get a little foreshadowing here. Her corner. Who's her? Who is this her? "Walking along in the direction of her house." So he's emphasizing this. "At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night was setting in." So he's setting up this scene. And I don't think that you need to be a biblical scholar of any proportion to understand where this story is headed, what this writer is trying to set up. We have a young guy, doesn't have a lot of life experience, heading towards what is apparently a well-known corner that includes her house. And it's at night. It's dark. So let's continue on the story. "So out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks." And I know what you're thinking, but guys, listen, the Bible is not talking about your mother-in-law, okay? So let's just stop that right there. Let's leave the mothers out of this, all right? "She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, 'I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows.'" We're going to talk about what that means in a second. "So I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home." Now, right away, this guy, whoop, whoop, whoop. There should be a little warning sign, right? "My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." Now, let's give the husband a break. It was probably like a satchel, a wallet, maybe not a purse. Man bag, we'll go with. But what we have here, we have this woman who apparently was well known for her crafty ways and who practices a religion that honestly is not all that terribly uncommon from what we see today. And what she's saying, that part about fulfilling her vows, she's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm not a hooker. I'm not after your money. You don't have to pay me. I want you. And you know what? I went to church this week. I've got my God quota in. I'm good. I did my God thing on Sunday, and I can live however else I want for the rest of the week because I did it. I fulfilled it. I fulfilled my vow. Now, her practice of religion really is of no consequence to this young man. He's in the prime of his life, and Mrs. Robinson is there trying to seduce him, right? And he really doesn't put up much of a fight. I don't think that we probably need to finish this, but, you know, just for funsies, let's go. Verse 21, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. That's not good. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Starting to get the point. Like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. So the writer here, he's talking to us. He's saying, hey, anybody that ever reads this, listen up. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. You see the words that the Bible uses there? It says that she led him astray. It kind of connotes there that this young man, he doesn't know any better, and he's headed on a path, and he gets near her house, and she leads him off of that path into her path, into a highway that leads to death. And this young man is thinking, man, I am special. She came out. She wants me. I am unique. This is going to be one night of passion and fun. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, no, this is a predictable story. The writer says, I've seen this before. I've stood in this window, and I've watched this happen. We all know where this is headed. And the truth is, we've seen this ancient narrative in our world, haven't we? It's the single girl who says, you know, I want to marry a good Christian guy who really has his act together, but then goes looking for him on Friday nights in clubs and at bars and dates anyone who she just thinks is cute. It's the single guy who says, man, I want to have a great sex life when I get married. So he practices with everyone he dates along the way. It's the gentleman who says, you know, when I get old, I really want to give my life to my grandchildren. I really want to be there for them, but then ignores his health. It's the wife who says, I want to have a great marriage, an unbelievable marriage, but then makes the kids a priority over her husband. Or the husband who says, I want my kids to respect me as they grow, but then openly flirts with any woman that he meets. And when I paint them like that, it's not that difficult to connect the dots, right? It's not that hard to see how those decisions lead down a path that has a very predictable destination. And honestly, the list could go on and on. If your goal is to lose 2 dress sizes, you don't eat lunch at the donut shop. And if your goal is to stay faithful to your spouse, you don't lurk in online chat rooms alone late at night with members of the opposite sex. Those aren't pastimes. Those are pathways. And those paths have a destination. And you're not going to find anybody in their 50s that's going to tell you, man, the secret to our great and lasting marriage was for us to have sex with as many people as we could along the way. You're not going to find anybody that's close to retirement saying, you know what the key to retirement was? It was financing everything. It's not going to happen. You know, I've found this principle at work in my own life. When I was 20, I was finished with school. That's not the right way to say it. I quit school when I was 20 because I didn't want to study anymore. That's the right way to say it. So I had never got my degree. Now, I had every intention of going to college and getting my degree. And to make matters worse, I even promised my dad, "Dad, I will get my college degree." And then I turned 30, and at 30, I was absolutely no closer to my degree than I was when I was 20. See, I didn't need a solution in that moment. I knew what the solution was. The solution was to get my degree. I needed a new path. So about 3 years ago, I enrolled in college. I have about 2 classes and a couple tests from getting my degree. I didn't need a fix. I needed a new direction. If you've ever been lost while you're driving, you know that you can just kind of, you can back up, retrace your steps, and at some point you're probably going to get your bearings. And at worst, you've lost a couple of minutes, maybe an hour or so. But the problem is, when you get lost in life, when you end up in a destination you don't want to be, you don't just waste hours or minutes. You can waste a whole season of your life. You can't rewind the world despite what Superman teaches us. Thank you. You can waste precious years. Nobody wants to arrive at their 50s and wish that they took a different path in their 30s. No, you don't want to come to the end of a marriage and wish you had taken a different path in your dating life. You only get to be 20 once. You only get one senior year. You only get one first marriage. And you know, I know quite a few of unmarried people who have decided to move in together. And the reasons they give are across the board. It's financially the right thing. We'll save money. Isn't that the responsible thing to do? Or how else am I supposed to get to know him if I don't, live with him for a little bit, kick the tires around? Or if we're going to get married anyway, what's the difference? But did you know? Did you know that couples who move in together have a significantly higher percentage of divorces than couples who don't? It's about a 50 to 80% higher rate of divorce among couples who live together before marriage than couples who don't. As a matter of fact, only 40% of people who move in together before marriage actually ever get married. It's a path. And did you know that the highest success rates of marriages are linked to those who waited the latest in life to have sex, with the highest rates linked to those who didn't have sex until they were married? Now listen, I know that I'm not saying anything that you wouldn't expect a pastor at a church to say. I get it. And I get that I'm saying what is contrary to our culture right now. I get it. But isn't it interesting that the best path to a lasting and happy marriage maybe isn't what our culture says that it is? Or think of it this way. You ask a couple with 2 kids that are going through a really painful divorce. You ask them if all of those nights of pleasure leading up to that was worth it, or if they'd rather have a marriage that was incredible and out of this world. Better yet, you ask their kids. Those aren't isolated decisions. They're steps on a path in a direction that has a destination. My prayer is that some of this is hitting home with some of you. And I'm not up here to condemn. I'm up here to connect the dots. Because you know that you aren't where you want to be in some areas of your life. And you know exactly the path you've taken that has brought you there. And so my question to you this morning is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I said at the beginning of this that you don't need a solution. What you need time and the right direction. So what does that look like? For some of you, it's a phone call. For some of you, it's an awkward but honest conversation with your spouse or maybe a friend. Some of you need to change your phone number, break up, move out, empty the liquor cabinet, cut up some credit cards, find a new circle of friends, cut back on your spending, cut back on your traveling, set the alarm clock on Sunday morning, join a 12-step group, take your family on vacation, enroll in school, make an appointment with a counselor, sell the TV, change your job, cancel your internet service. Sounds extreme, right? I know. But you know people. You know people who right now would give anything if they could rewind their lives and do any number of those things that I just mentioned, if it would lead them out of the current circumstances in which they now find themselves. You can't trump the principle of the path with good intentions. So you need to stand back and ask this question: is the path that I'm on going to lead me to where I want to be? And for most of us here at Verve, at some point in our life, we realized the answer to that was no. That we realized in our spiritual lives, we weren't going to make it. The direction that we were headed was not where we wanted to be. But the good news is, we found a new direction. We recognized we couldn't get there on our own, but that we didn't have to. That God sent his son, Jesus, into our world, something that we just celebrated a few days ago. And that by aligning our direction with his, that we had hope, that we had a future. We had those things that Mike was talking about. The Bible tells us that when we accept the gift of God's son, Jesus, and that when we're baptized and we become followers of him, that he sends a wise counselor into our lives that will help align our direction with his. Because what we believe here is that in all of those areas of your life, including your spiritual life, there is a best path. There is a path that will lead to a happy and fulfilling marriage. There is a path that will lead to kids who honor you and respect God. There is a way that you can know God. And it all begins with Jesus. So I'm going to give you a few moments. The band's going to come back up here and play a song that kind of deals with what we've been talking about. And during this time, I encourage you to read the lyrics, search your heart, but I want you to ask this question. Is there an area of my life that I'm unhappy with? And then what are you going to do about it? During this time, we're also going to make communion available. Communion, it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and it reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. And it's a chance for us during this moment to realign our direction with his, to remind us of the destination that he came to this earth to fulfill. And so the band's going to play. I'm going to give you time to wrestle with this, and then I'm going to come up and talk about another way, another tool that we'll give you to help with this. But first, let's pray. God, I thank you for this time to take a step back. I hope that's what I do. I hope that's what everyone in this room does, that they'll examine themselves and see if they're where they want to be. And God, I pray that during this time that we do that, that you would reveal yourself to us, that we would realize where you are and align our direction to head in that direction. And the great news is the Bible tells us when we do that, that you meet us there. God, I am so thankful for that promise. And it's in the name of your son that we pray these things. Amen.